You're listening to Bollywood Weekly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host, Aditya, and I have with me Satyen Rao.
Hello, hello.
And Sagar Hiren Desai.
Back, hey, guys.
Back after a very long time. That's right. Funnily enough, I think both of your previous appearances, or most recent appearances on the podcast, were for Akshay Kumar movies.
Yeah.
Padman and yeah. Jolly LLB.
Yeah.
But here we are, not for an Akshay Kumar movie,
yep.
But for Sanju, which we have very mixed views over.
Yes.
So Satyen, why don't you start? Because I think you had the strongest views coming out of the theater.
Yeah, awful. Hated it. Disgusting. I don't know why I spent time watching that. I don't know why such films are made. Okay, four sentences. Move on.
Wow. I didn't know you had such strong opinions on it. I actually really liked it. I thought it was an alternative viewpoint on someone's life. And
it's a very nice way of putting I mean,
well, I think it's easy to dismiss it as propaganda, as what Satyen put it as yesterday, but I think it's important to let the person who actually is going through that life present his or her view on what his or her life was like. So I actually really like the movie, and obviously, there are bits and pieces where I think they could have done more, which we can talk later about. But I thought it was well done.
Yeah, so I think I'm somewhere in the middle, slightly leaning towards Satyen's point of view, because like the thing is though,
where is the fourth person to back me up?
We watched this movie with Devika, who decided to not be here. but before the movie going in, like, it had already kind of been pretty polarizing in terms of what people had been saying about it. But pretty much universally, I think most people who had negative opinions on it still were kind of like, it's a good, if you just look at it as a movie and a piece of entertainment, it's like a well-made movie. But if you look at what it actually says and the content of it, it's quite problematic. And of course, this is obviously colored by the fact that it's Raju Hirani and the standards he has set have been like amazing. I think if we just look at his films, this is probably the worst one, even forgetting about the content. Yeah. I felt like it was very, a lot of things were just very obvious. It didn't have that kind of, you know, emotion, even though you could see what he was trying to go for.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't. But
I think I agree with you that it's hard to watch this movie for what it is as a film, for what it is in terms of the technical aspects, the filmmaking, or the story without thinking of the character it's based on.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's a basic problem for me. So I think a lot of my dissatisfaction towards the movie stems from the man it's portraying, I think. So I guess it's, in a way, it's kind of unfair for me to judge the movie by for itself, you know, being bad. I think it's because of my bias towards the person this movie is about. So that drives a whole lot of the way you consume the film itself, because if you go in with the belief that, okay, this is what I already think of the man that this film is about, it's gonna sort of take a lot of getting over to sort of to accept what this movie's trying to convey, I believe.
Yeah, but like, I see, the thing is though, I didn't know that much about the whole Sanjay Dutt case. Like, I knew it was happening because it was in the news, but not much like beyond a very superficial knowledge. So I went into it with like a pretty open mind. My problem was that it's not like they addressed it head on, which is what the impression I got from the trailer would be.
Mm.
My problem was that it's just kind of glossed over. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, this happened. But nothing is Sanjay Dutt's fault. Like, nothing. Like, it was all just
nothing
coincidence and twists of fate. And like, there's just like no explanation for it.
Yeah, just to set up, even the point that you just brought up is that if it is an alternate view, if it is the counter to everything that's going on, 95% of us don't know the facts of what happened. So I admitted myself, I didn't know the details of the case. I still don't. So I don't know how guilty, how not guilty, or what exactly transpired. So I hope to see some sort of rebuttal or factual sort of an exploration of the facts of the case to say this was what actually happened. But obviously that's, I mean, not to be expected from Bollywood or a film like this, I suppose. It's my fault for going into it thinking about that. But that's what makes it even more problematic, because if you have no indication of the facts or no indication of any evidence from the filmmakers to say we actively tried to dismiss the false news that was being propagated during this time, which is what they say or claim during the film, if they've not made an actual effort to actually tell us what the reality was, then why should I believe into the story?
I don't really understand, because I think the movie does just that, right? As in that we're clearly told that the Supreme Court charged Sanjay Dutt with first under Tada, and then obviously after a lot of back and forth, then they dropped the charges under Tada, and then they charged him for illegal
possession of arms.
So that's exactly actually what happened, where he was charged under the terrorist related act, and then after a lot of back and forth with the Supreme Court. And during this back and forth, he had to stay in the Yerwada jail or the Arthur Road jail. And so I actually thought the movie did a decent job of telling us what the context was and what and how it turned out, during his life.
But it doesn't really explain, so it just shows us okay, he had ties to the underworld, and there's a passing mention of Abu Salim and all of this. And Dawood and all these guys, friendly with them. It doesn't give us into any context of why. And there's even
how it's not okay.
Yeah, exactly. Or any justification for that. And yeah, the two producers of his film were also then arrested, right, for being associated with that. And they don't address how close their ties were or how involved they were. And as with many other things in the movie, it's just like, It felt like a very selective, let me just show you this specific set of things that happened, but not the things surrounding that. Or
and say it in a certain way.
Yeah.
So I think the big things you think of were his possession of guns, the truck with the explosives that were parked outside his house, and him being branded as a terrorist, which were the three sort of big points that stick in your heads based on all the press and all the coverage that he's received. And they talk about all of these things, but the truck with the RDX gets a 1.5 second mention or the visual, you get a glimpse into that. And the guns also is pretty hilarious the way they talk about him possessing the guns. Because initially, he claims that his story is he wanted the guns for protection, and he gets it from his producers, who are the contacts that provide him with these arms. And initially, he gets three AK-56 rifles with hundreds of bullets. And that's when he realizes, shit, you know what? This is actually wrong. And to make the audience think that, Sanju Baba actually did realize that this was wrong. You shouldn't have kept guns. So he said, so I returned two and kept one gun and still kept 250 bullets for protection. So that feels a bit of a stretch, even in terms of...
And also, it makes it just seem like, oh yeah, I had an AK-56 for protection, as though it's like the most normal thing. Like, it's, yeah, anyone has an AK-56, like, why not, right? Hmm. It doesn't address the fact that... It just says it's wrong. It just even says that he got scared because his producers get arrested. Hmm. And he didn't want to be caught up in it. So even there, I felt like it was a bit kind of convenient. The truck, I feel, was fine, because he did say it was a truck of my dad's supplies and someone just spread a rumor. There's not much more you can say about that, I think, because it's just now, it's his word versus someone else's.
Hmm. I think at this point, it'd be good to go back to what I said earlier, which was the reason why I thought this movie provided an alternative viewpoint on his life was because I think we're looking at all the issues that all of us are talking about. We are removing the human from the issues, right? As in, yes, you're right in that. When he says that, I went from three guns to having one gun, and that one gun was for my own protection or for my dad's protection. We are seeing it as just, but that does not change the fact that you possessed guns.
Yeah.
But think about it from the human being's perspective, in that if you were putting yourself in his shoes, and if you were going through a rough patch where your dad was, threatened with certain things and where your own life was threatened, maybe you could also, enter a situation. And especially when you have these contacts with the underworld and with the biggest Bollywood celebrities or fixers or whatever you want to call them.
Let's don't have Sagar's looking at Pishwali. So not me. For the record.
You may also get into a situation where you may want to have a gun just to protect your own life. So I think that's why I said, the reason why I said it is an alternative viewpoint is because the movie does provide a human behind the whole Sanjay Dutt saga. And I think it's important to, and I think the movie was made mainly to give us that human perspective. The movie wasn't made to tell us exactly what the issue was or what went wrong and what went right. I think the movie, according to me, at least after I watched the movie, it felt like, yeah, you know, now I can see the human behind everything that happened.
So to that point, I just read a tweet after the film, actually, which said, after watching Sanju, Vijay Mallya and Nirav Modi have contacted Raju Hirani.
And Salman Khan.
So if we're looking at alternate point of view, for example, so in my life also, I've not done anything illegal. But
hopefully.
Let's say,
even if you did, I don't think you would choose this moment on the podcast to reveal.
And you are in Singapore. So
deleting that pirated version of James Bond trilogy. Anyway, so what I was getting at was, okay, even about my life, if I want people to think of me as a different person I'm bad at math. Everyone knows that, right? I'm not the best at math. But I could easily tomorrow contact Raju Hirani and say, hey, you know that math exam I failed? I actually failed because of stress at home, because my parents put too much pressure on me to study and do really well. It wasn't that I was bad at numbers, it's just that my mind was clogged by all these different facets of pressures I was facing at home. So actually, after walking out of that theater about a movie on Satyen Rao and math, people might think I'm a really good mathematician who was facing really bad pressures from his family and was never really allowed to flourish. Anyone, for that matter, tomorrow could go and say, hey, let me make an alternative viewpoint about my life to completely change the public's perception of me, regardless of what I've done or what is right or wrong in terms of my actions. That is, it's in itself, I think, a fundamental problem for me, because film and PR obviously are the mediums with which you sway public perception. Now, for a person like him, if you actually want to portray the facts is one thing, that's a documentary, or it's an actual analysis of all the case files that are there. But in this case, it's someone, a producer, picking up a script and saying, let's completely paint a different picture of this person, the story that we have, inspired by his life, but let's make a beautiful movie out of it to make some money, because people already know him as a hero, as a character that people are familiar with. So
think about it from let's say if someone branded me a terrorist and, you know, I thought at least that I wasn't actually a terrorist, and it just happened that my life circumstances played out in such a manner that, I was put in situations which I wasn't meant to be in, and I was made to do things that I wasn't meant to do. Think about it from that perspective. Wouldn't you, as the actor or as the protagonist, want a say in how the public perceives you? But especially when almost unilaterally and almost the media agreed that, yeah, you know, this guy is connected with the underworld and connected with terrorism and all of that, especially with such a heavy and such a serious claim, I do think a person deserves the chance to put his side of the
I agree story. And I don't have any problem with Sanjay Dutt putting out his side of the story, or even like, you know, there are a lot of people who was like, I think what you said, like, this film shouldn't have been made. I don't agree with that. I think this is a film that can and should have been made. That's fine. But my point is that, or at least this is the impression I got, if I believed I was innocent and I wanted to show people, listen, I'm innocent, I haven't actually done anything, or I did things only because I was forced to do it, I would then tell that story. Like, that didn't feel to me like the story that was told. The story was just, everyone in the world is against Sanjay Dutt. Sanjay Dutt is just a man child who makes bad decisions, and then, but he's good at heart. So, like, I mean, like, I'm sure there is going to be a Salman Khan biopic and it's going to be made, which is going to make it seem like all the stuff he's done is...
Hey, bye.
People are going to be paying for that movie with a lot of black bucks.
Hey, bhai ka movie hai, bhai ka movie hai, bhai ka movie hai.
I wonder who would play Salman Khan. Maybe Tiger Shroff.
Only Salman Khan.
And Sohail Khan.
In fact, we were asking this question after we went out of the theater because Sagar commented that Sanjay Dutt actually looked in pretty good shape in his guest appearance at the end. So I think it would be interesting if Sanjay Dutt played Ranbir Kapoor in his biopic.
I almost imagine the Savariya towel scene.
Yeah.
Well, Ranbir and Sanjay have similar lives currently, at least.
Yeah, that was
so evident. Yeah. Ranbir played his character so effortlessly.
Yeah.
For some time, I thought the movie was about Ranbir.
Yeah. It'd be nice to take a change gears and talk about
the acting. Yeah, I think
element.
The acting was really good. I think Ranbir was good, as he usually has been in all of his films. I think the star of the show was Vicky Kaushal.
And
outstanding. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And luckily, I watched Masa just 2 days before I watched Sanju. And man, I couldn't believe that this was the same guy who played the protagonist in Masa.
Yeah.
And
I watched Love Per Square Foot with Vivek a couple of days ago also.
Okay. And I'm a Gujarati, so I have a good amount of family in the rural parts of Gujarat and obviously in Bombay, and I could tell, like, this guy is literally the guy from Bhavnagar who goes to the US. And it's so pure, as in the way he plays it, it's so smooth that you just feel like, man, this guy, he could be my cousin from Bhavnagar who's gone to the US.
Yeah, I wanted him to be my friend. Exactly. He was such a good friend to Sanjay Dutt in the movie that I was like, be my friend, please.
Yeah, and that's also one of the themes that I actually wanted to talk about, was just how well they've explored the friendship between Vicky Kaushal and Sanjay Dutt, obviously whose real name apparently is Paresh Ghelani.
There's a lot of debate as to whether it is actually based on him or.
But apparently Paresh yesterday tweeted a long heartfelt message for Sanjay, which confirmed that he is actually
the
same guy.
Yeah, his performance was exceptional, and he's always so. I think he's one of the actors we have today who is a complete natural, like Irfan Khan. I would put him along the same lines as Irfan Khan, where his dialogue delivery and portrayal of characters is so effortless because he's natural. He's not performing or putting on a fake persona. He just becomes that person effortlessly.
Yeah. It's so subtle.
He reminds me a lot of like Rajkumar Rao, I think, because like what Sagar said, right? You take Masaan and you take this two completely different roles, and he's entirely 100% believable in both.
Yes.
So that was pretty amazing.
And Paresh Rawal as well.
Yeah.
As a father was outstanding. I thought he held fort, and he was the one that sort of, anything you feel for Sanju, the character as a son, is because of that father character. And Paresh Rawal portrays that so well that you actually feel his goodness. He's supposed to be, so Sunil Dutt is this person who's got everything put together and he's the idol for his son, and he just gives that vibe off so well throughout the film. And even his expectations from his son, the way he changes his stance towards the end, where he sort of gives him that high five, which Sanjay Dutt is always looking for throughout the film, where he says he gives it to my siblings but never to me. And when he does give it, you feel the impact, that emotion, the hug, like you mentioned. Yeah. Everything that Paresh Rawal delivers is on point again.
And I think he was in line with, as in, if you guys know anything of Sunil Dutt, he had the same weightage in his voice, the same level of respect that he commanded with his audience, not just the movie audience, but also just people. Indian audience, right? And I think Paresh Rawal does a very good job of replicating that same level of authority that probably Sunil Dutt had while he was alive. So Paresh Rawal was on point, as usual, right? Isn't Paresh is a fantastic actor in general.
Yeah. One other problem that I had in this movie, which is also part of Satyan's notes, I believe, And yes, listeners, you heard that right. Satyan and Sagar both came with notes, which is something I've never done.
You see the amount of seriousness with which we do these podcasts.
Yeah, we are so excited and nervous before Bollywood Weekly.
Yeah. But anyway, I was saying that the women in Sanjay Dutt's life are just kind of... They're just forgotten. Ignored.
Glossed over.
Except for his mother in one particular segment of the movie.
Mm.
Right leading up to her death, where it's shown that she's like a major influence. All of the other women, like from his sisters, are just a couple of visuals of them and he just talks about them. But that's about it. Two wives of his are completely ignored, not addressed at all.
But the two guns are not, huh?
Yeah, they're just like airbrushed from his life. They were not like, you know, quick marriages where he was in and out of them. He was married to them for like a good 10-12 years.
Even the one wife that is currently Manyata was currently shown in the movie. No significant contribution whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on that point, I think I didn't mind that they didn't touch upon the other two wives, especially as Manyata was the one who kind of stuck through with him through and through. That being said, I think I didn't mind the fact that they didn't explore the relationship between Sanjay and Manyata and at all. And especially when she was such a significant part of his life, why he was going through such difficult moments.
Yeah.
It is your partner who kind of you talk to. I would hope that he spoke to her or that he took comfort when he confided in her and all that. So that relationship wasn't explored, which I thought was, which I thought was lacking. The second point that I was thinking, and it's again part of my notes. The one thing that I did feel like, and because we were talking about how they didn't capture the relationship between the husband and the wife, I did feel throughout the movie that they tried to capture too much in a very short time frame, even though the movie felt long. So even though the movie felt long, they weren't able to capture everything about Sanju's life, and that's why it felt like they haven't done a encompassing job of Sanju's life. Perhaps that is the depth of Sanjay Dutt's life that that we can't explore in a
Sanju 2.
That we can't explore in
Sanju Returns.
Yeah, Sanju Returns.
Sanju again. Phir se Sanju.
Yeah. So
speaking of which, sorry, slightly off track. There was a sequel to MS Dhoni announced this week.
Oh wow. Second innings.
Yeah, second innings.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is apparently from post 2011 World Cup until now.
This is really irritating here. Come on. I think the very fact that you're making biopics and films on people who are not even legends and old yet. You guys are still young, working, and like there's no dearth of original stories. Come on, you don't have to keep portraying people who are still in their prime or people who are still living their lives. When you can do that many years from now when they are remembered for their greatness as legends, when they're old, and there's every reason to give them a tribute or pay tribute to them, but now, like, what is the purpose of doing these?
I guess it's also as in money. You do what sells, right? As in you do what sells. As in films are not just made for the quality; they're also made for the dollars or the rupees that you earn.
Yeah.
So
there was a movie released recently called Race 3. I think you might be familiar with it.
Which one's that again?
The one thing I would say, it's again shifting gears a little bit. Like, I left the movie theater thinking to my mind, whether this whatever he did in his life was right, wrong, whatever our opinions of him. It's inspiring in that it tells you how much one person can go through and still make it through to the other side. Just the amount of when you think about the number of experiences or bad experiences he's had throughout his life, and look, there is no justification for all that he did, because at the end of the day, everyone controls their own destiny in my mind. But the fact that he was going through so much, and yet after how many ever years, he came through to the other side, I think it does stop me and make me think that, people can go through so much and still be able to fight through everything. So yeah. in that way, it was quite inspiring.
I kind of tend to agree on the whole part related to his drug addiction and the way he overcame that and all of that. Of course, the cynic's viewpoint is that he has the resources and the backing to actually be able to do that, where a lot of people may not.
Yeah, I mean, working in advertising, this is actually a masterclass, according to me, in his branded content.
Yeah, so I mean, the thing that really threw me off was that song at the end.
Oh yes!
Because
oh wow!
Then it's just like not even pretending.
So,
it's,
yeah, just for context. Yeah. So the whole film is about not the whole film, but the a significant majority of the second half, to Sunil Dutt chasing editors and the press, trying to dismiss them, trying to dissuade them from printing headlines with question marks or leaning headlines that make you think of Sanju as a terrorist. Where headlines like RDX truck parked outside Sanjay Dutt's house? Question mark. So it's never really stating a fact, but more like planting a seed in people's thoughts. And he sort of takes on the media single-handedly in trying to say one day Sanjay Dutt will be back and he'll be printing headlines the other way instead of misreading people with these false headlines. So the whole second and third act is dedicated to that and saying the media and press played a big part in painting the wrong image of Sanjay Dutt. Which, yeah, okay, I get, because that's what Indian media does very well as well, even more so today. So it was, to our surprise, we said, okay, after they've resolved that issue where he did things, he went about things the right way, the father and Sanjay Dutt, in the way the film was portrayed, that he came back, did a good movie and then got good reviews, and then obviously the press were forced to change their tune about Sanjay Dutt. We said that's a really nice way to tackle the issue, until the last song at the end, which is when the credits were playing. What was the song about, Pish?
Baba bolta hai bas.
So Baba saying no to all of these rumors. But the song lyrics itself is a story of how he's in a friendly way threatening the reporter from posting anything misleading.
No, and it's also just like, it's like, oh, whatever you've heard about me is fake news. Like that was the thing. Like the problem that I had throughout the movie is just, it's too simplistic an explanation to just say, no, this is fake news.
Hmm.
It's like very Donald Trump-esque.
I mean, if the president of the United States can do it, why can't Sanjay Dutt do it, right?
Yeah. One other like funny moment, I mean, not funny as such, I just found it interesting that his big crowning glory or return was him winning the Filmfare Award for Best Actor in a Comic Role. An award that has also gone to Tushar Kapoor for Golmaal and Abhishek Bachchan for Bol Bachchan.
If I had won it after Tushar Kapoor, I would have been happy as well.
An esteemed company.
Brilliant.
But yeah, this movie's done phenomenally well. Which is again another that there's nothing you can do about it. But the problem that I also have with the way the movie is, A large section of Indian audiences tend to, you know, take things at face value.
Yes.
And, you know, people are not always able to separate a star from their on-screen image.
Real life.
Correct. To separate what they are in real life versus what they are on screen.
Yeah.
Hence why Salman Khan has been on a 3-year kind of journey to correct his image through the film that he's done. Although in Race, surprisingly, it's reversed. But I think Race is just so far removed from logic that no one cares. But it's like the fourth highest opening week ever. Like 160, 170 crores or something.
Wow.
So it's good for Ranbir Kapoor, I think, because he has been someone who's been like very bold about his movie choices and largely stayed away from the whole sellout Shah Rukh Salman type of cinema, and the box office hasn't always rewarded him for that, but in this case he does now have a big hit to his name to stand alongside those guys, which I think he deserves at a personal level. Whether this film should have been the one that got it is a matter of debate, but yeah,
the one thing that I think they didn't explore a lot on was, I think we were discussing this yesterday, Bollywood's connection with the underworld.
Underworld. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
100%.
100%.
Because, obviously, obviously Sanjay Dutt was is very well known that Sanjay Dutt had connections with the underworld.
They acknowledge that in the film
But I think it's important to acknowledge that Bollywood as a industry has strong connections with the underworld. And the point that I think the film misses out on is that we, just because Sanjay Dutt had these connections does not mean that the others didn't have connections.
Correct.
Yes.
I think they could have done a little more on that front because they just mention, oh, Abu Salam ko call kiya. Something of that sort.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The one really funny, a funny incident just related to the underworld was how the guy who calls him for the Ganesh puja, he shows up.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
Shows up in support of Sanjay Dutt after, because he stands up to him and tells him that my father won't take it well if I actually attend your Ganesh puja ceremony. Yeah, that was actually quite well done.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general the movie had quite a lot of moments which were,
of course, that's Rajkumar. That's what I mentioned as well. There's certain moments, high points, and even the low points that Rajkumar Hirani sort of has the ability to bring out in his classic trademark way, right?
Yeah.
So. My favorite moment, like my favorite high point in the movie, was when Paresh Rawal and Sanjay Dutt hug it out
in Munna Bhai.
No, not in Munna Bhai.
Oh.
When you know, towards the end, when they show exactly why they were discussing the RDX issue.
Oh, in that preview theater.
How he drags the lawyer out.
Yeah.
And that's when Paresh Rawal feels like, wow, you know, this guy really has the right values in him.
Yeah.
My favorite moment.
Mm.
Yeah. I quite liked the Munna Bhai recreation.
Yeah.
I thought that was really nicely done as well.
Yeah.
I think just to summarize from my point of view would be that I would have been really happy if this was based on someone else.
Or if this was not a true story.
Yes.
We will take a short break and
come back. That commercial on Sanjay Dutt was brought to you by Sanjay Dutt.
We'll be back.
Sanjay returns.
We have 8 trailers or something to discuss. So
oh, wow.
We'll be immediately back. Welcome back to part 2, and we have a lot of trailers to get through. A
lot of trailers and one teaser for the trailer.
Yeah, anyway.
No prizes for guessing which one of them will be that.
I think it only makes sense to start off with Sanju, as we were just talking about.
Uh-huh.
He is back on the big screen himself.
undoing everything he's tried to do with Sanju as a gangster in Saheb Bibi or Gangster 3.
Yeah. I have seen the first part of this series. I have not seen the second. What did you guys think?
I've not seen
one or two, yeah. So, difficult to say.
But I've always been eager to watch it, but somehow I've never gotten down to watching it.
Yeah.
It always seems like an interesting plot with like many subplots and like betrayal and double crossing. So, I'm eager to see what it looks like. And apart from Sanju, there's what's her name? Mahi Gill
and Jimmy Shergill. So though
both Gills.
Both Gills. So they have been constant throughout the first two films as well.
Who I like.
Yeah. I have mixed opinions because like the first one was a good movie, but it was like a very kind of unconventional film. Like it's very plot heavy. It's kind of a slow watch, but it's like all to do with the intensity of the actors, those two, and Randeep Hooda was in the first one.
Mm.
And like, it's like a very, you know, intricate nest of deceit and all of that. And like very, you know, Shakespearean, Omkara type vibe.
Mm.
This one feels like, because obviously Sanju Baba is also there,
yeah,
it feels a lot more commercial and typical masala-ish, which I don't know how I feel about.
But out of all the trailers we've seen, I think this would be the bottom of my list to watch.
I think Yamla Pagla Diwana. Oh, well, that was
top
a
of my list.
That was a teaser.
The trailers at the top of my list to watch when it comes out.
Anyway,
Satyan's judgment is still clouded by Sanju.
But yeah, Yamla Pagla Diwana also back for a third part. Shockingly, Satyan couldn't believe that a second part got made.
Because this is called Fir Se. So I'm assuming that it's natural to assume that Fir Se would mean second part.
Fir Se just means again. So it could be any part.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
I'm actually quite excited to watch it. I know it'll be slapstick, but
there are a couple of great lines. Yes, to be fair.
What was that one that Bobby Deol says? Oh yeah, yeah. So he's sitting with a glass of with an empty glass and whiskey bottle with another girl, I believe, and she's questioning his the fact that he hasn't put any water in the glass.
Yeah, he's having it neat.
He's having it neat, and he goes, "Arey, itna pani to muh mein daru dekhi hai jaate Punjabiyon ko."
Yeah,
which is awesome.
I just like the relationship between the three of them.
Hmm.
It's cute. It's slapstick, and you know, it's okay to watch it once.
It's a teaser. So each character gets a line to introduce themselves again. So Bobby Deol's is, "Na pyar hai, na paisa hai, na kaam hai." And I was like, wow, that's his true story.
No, but it's a very prolific time right now. Race 3,
yeah.
And then this.
Truly prolific.
Truly prolific. It's more than he's done in the last 4 years.
Yeah. Well, we were shocked that it was a teaser because it was 1 minute 40 seconds.
The best part is, though, at the end of the teaser, it said, trailer coming soon. Not the movie. Like, a movie is fine. Movie will come at
movie
some point.
Movie kaun dekhega, yaar? Trailer dekhna.
But yeah, the movie is coming out in the end of August. It was originally supposed to come out on Independence Day.
Mm.
But because of clashes with two other films we're going to talk about, Gold and Satyamev Jayate, they decided to move it.
One was distinctly more appealing than the other. So Gold was, again, about hockey. So there's two films that we've seen, two trailers that we've seen, which are about hockey. So I don't know why this is a pattern, or is there some sort of hockey agenda in India at the moment, but both look good, which is great. So finally Chakde has some competition. In form of
Gold was as in from what I can tell from the trailer, Gold was definitely more related to patriotism and
a lot of people are very upset with Akshay Kumar.
Why?
Because they feel like he has just sold his soul to the BJP and is just doing patriotic / propaganda type movies.
There's nothing wrong to be patriotic.
Like my point of view is I'd rather have someone with that kind of clout make movies about real issues or lesser known stories, whether it's an airlift or whether it's Batman or Toilet, than do Race 3.
this looks like a solid story as well.
So I actually am quite excited to watch Gold.
Yeah.
And it's Akshay Kumar, so he typically does a good job in all these patriotic movies.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because Devika can't stand Akshay Kumar, and there's two camps now. People who still remember Akshay Kumar from the Khiladi days and what he was. And there's this new Akshay, reinvigorated Akshay Kumar that's done very different roles, and his image has changed. So I've converted, and I'm very firmly in the second half of Akshay Kumar's.
So how do you feel about Houseful 4 coming this Diwali?
Oh my god, is it? Yes! Yes! Oh, so happy. You made my day. Cannot wait. So Houseful...
we have to change the name of our WhatsApp
group. Exactly. We have a WhatsApp group called Houseful. That's how much
Houseful
of
3.
Houseful 3, sorry. That's how much of an impact it had in our lives.
Surma, I thought, was also really good. My only issue with Surma... is that the entire story is in the trailer. So that doesn't leave you with that much to go into the theater in terms of getting any new information. But it still looks good, and Diljit is really good.
Yeah. And it's based on a true story, so that also makes it even more enticing. Mm.
I could almost see Farhan Akhtar in this role, and then until I saw it was produced, I think it's produced by Farhan Akhtar. So I hope...
No, that's Gold.
Oh, that's Gold? Oh, sorry. Okay. So I could almost see Farhan Akhtar in Diljit's role, actually, but let's see.
That's also because
he did Bhag Milkha Bhag.
There's some similarity there between the two, I think.
No, I think Diljit is a good choice.
He's a good choice.
Yeah.
Then we had Fane Khan.
Hmm.
Oh, we never talked about Satyamev Jayate.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Maybe there's a reason for that.
Different kind of different kind of action movie for Milap Zaveri, who's known for films like Masti Zade and Kya Cool Hai Hum.
Classics, basically.
And it just felt like this is a movie that John Abrams doing just for the dollars. I don't think...
But John Abram is on a pretty good run in terms of box office, because Parmanu did really well.
Yeah.
Dishoom before that did really well for some reason. Force 2 before that did really well.
Even though the acting in Parmanu was just like...
Not good.
Not good. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean, John, I think the trailer was just another excuse to show John's biceps in every angle.
it was the classic, the typical exaggerated scenes from every,
and
know.
Not even as classy as Rohit Shetty. classy I'm using very loosely. I'm not being serious, but yeah, I think it's a disappointing trailer.
Yeah.
Cool. Moving on to...
Fane Khan,
yeah. Mm. The cast is really interesting.
Mm.
I'm not that sure of what to make of the movie itself, but it has Rajkumar Rao, Anil Kapoor and Aishwarya, who all look in pretty good form.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anil Kapoor, of course. I think there's a good premise there. It's about singing. I think it's very, very inspired by... We haven't had a sort of movie about a singer recently.
We had Secret Superstar.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. I haven't seen that, actually. But this reminds me a lot about Pitch Perfect as well. And there's a good story of like a person being challenged by the stereotypes in the industry and fighting against the odds with the father as the mentor and role model. So I think there's some good story elements there.
It's also like an underdog story, right? It's
Everyone. This will be like a good feel-good movie.
Exactly,
I think. And Rajkumar is always fun to watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
His role reminded me a lot of his Bareilly Ki Barfi role.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, gotta watch that.
Mm. And I hope there's some good music from it, because if it's based on singer and two singers, I hope there's some good music that comes out of the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I would definitely go and watch. So I wouldn't think twice about whether or not I should spend money watching this. I think it would be an easy watch.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting out of it. It won't be bad,
but
it might not be extraordinary, but it would be hopefully an enjoyable watch.
Yeah.
Cool. And the final trailer, which I'm probably the most excited for, is Karwa.
Yes.
Dulquer Salman in his Bollywood debut.
Who can I say my friend thinks I look like?
Okay. Good to know, Sachin. I can kind of see it, I guess. And then also Mithila Palkar in her Bollywood debut.
Yay!
And Irfan Khan in Touchwood, not his last film.
Yay! Yes.
film has been delayed a lot, actually.
Okay.
It was supposed to release in Feb or March, maybe. But was then delayed to June and now has been delayed again due to Irfan's health issues. But it's finally coming out in August. And yeah, it looks...
The trailer itself is so feel-good. Looking at Mithila's face itself puts a smile on your face. Because she's just that delightful of a person. And the premise is funny. There's three really solid characters, not overdoing it. They're just going on a journey with this big epic confusion about two dead bodies.
Yeah.
It sounds grim, but it actually comes across really light and hilarious.
And that's the thing. Like, Bollywood does not have a history of producing like dark comedy or black comedy.
Yes.
So it's good to see a film like that being made.
Mm.
I have no idea how it will do box office wise, but looks fun for sure.
I hope for both their sakes, actually, Dulquer and Mithila's case, that it does well, because I think they both are good actors. Dulquer from Down South, and Mithila, of course, it's her debut film, and I really want this to do well for her, because there's so many fans. All of us are fans of hers, I believe, in this room as well. And Irfan, of course, is classic. Even the trailer, some of his lines and the way he just
I actually never doubt movies that Irfan does. I think he does movies with a lot of thought, whichever script that he picks up. So I will watch it. And the moment I saw Irfan was in the movie, I was like, yeah, I'm watching it.
Mm.
Cool. I think we are done for the day.
Yes.
Good
wow.
stuff, guys.
Thank you, guys. We
covered a lot of material in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Go watch Sanju, even though Satyan says no.
Okay. To close out this podcast, Sagar, can you please do your Bhai impression again?
Yes.
That's the best thing I've heard all
week. What do Bhai fans say, Sagar?
Hey, item. Hey, item.
And what happens when someone is blocking the screen?
Hey, hatna! Hey, hat! My brother's screen uda diya.
Thank you so much for listening. That's our show. If you enjoyed that, then please subscribe and spread the word. Bollywood Weekly is available on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Audio Boom, and pretty much anywhere else where you might get your podcasts. And if you have any comments or anything you want us to discuss on the show, then do get in touch with us by following TIC Productions on Facebook and on Twitter. See you next week.